Genesis chapter 2. Beginning with verse 22. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This verse is quoted several times in the New Testament. It's quoted by Paul. It's quoted by Jesus to demonstrate, first of all, by Jesus, that God never intended divorce. So he quotes from Genesis, indicating that God intended that they two become one. And then Jesus said, "Let what God has put together, let no man separate." And it's interesting that it says, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, Adam didn't say that. And Eve didn't say that. And God didn't say that. Because there was no mothers and fathers in those days. But Moses wrote the first five books as God revealed to him what to write. And through Moses, God made a comment after revealing the creation of man and then a woman out of his side. God commented through Moses, "For this cause, because they have become one, they've been taken out of man, woman's been taken out of man, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." God was, through Moses, giving us an additional instruction of the significance of woman being made out of man. Mother's Day is a great occasion to be very heroic about motherhood in sermons and other places too. It's a great day to get extra business at restaurants and things like that. But in sermons and preaching, it's a great day to be heroic and point out heroic mothers. And we read about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we could be very heroic about her because she said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." And what more glorious thing than to see a woman being willing for the will of God to be done in her life according to the word of God. It's a great occasion to build up motherhood, to so glorify motherhood that you mothers sitting here this morning will start to feel pretty good about being a mother. But that's temporary. Feelings are always temporary. Highs are temporary, lows are temporary, mediums are temporary, because feelings are temporary and they come and they go. And they're uncontrollable, involuntary, so we don't have to live by them, as we know. But a good ploy would be, and sometimes in sermons, is to try to cause mothers to feel good about being mothers. And then they might go home thinking, "Wow, that was wonderful. I really felt good about being a mother, at least for a couple hours." It's a good occasion to praise heroic mothers, but never really talk about motherhood. This morning I wanted to talk about what mothers really deserve. What is really due to a mother? First of all, I want to say that a family consists of a husband and a wife. That is a family. You have the sign family over here. You have the Nicely family. That family has children. You have the Constanzer family, and that family has children. We have the Morrison family, and that family has children. And we have the Gaynor family, represented by Geraldine, and that family has children. And we have the Riley family, and that family has children. And we have the Carroll family, and that family has no children. But it is the Carroll family. That's rather radical in some people's view, that a husband and wife is a family when there is no children, but that is true. That is true. And that husband and wife welcome children to the family. The children do not create the family. The children do not create the family. Family creates the children. What does really do a mother? This is going to shock you. What is really do a mother, first of all, is to realize and have it realized that first of all, a mother is a wife. The first thing that's due a mother is for her, her parents, her husband, her children, her brothers and sisters, recognize and realize she is a wife above all in all her relationships. When she marries her husband, she is a wife. She has left family. She takes on the responsibilities and the relationship, first of all, as wife. And her husband together create children, and that creates her motherhood. But even after becoming a mother, she is, first of all, a wife. A family is not ordained by God to be child-centered. Husbands and wives do not have children and cause the children to be the center of the family. When you have child-centered families, you have child-centered children. When they get the sense that everything revolves around them, they will develop the opinion and live as though everything revolves around them. And it does not. Their mother is, first of all, a wife of their father, not just a mother of them as the first thing. Question. Husbands, how is your family relationship? If your answer stimulated to your mind is, well, my family relationship is that my wife takes good care of the children, you're missing something. If that's how you view your family relationship, as your wife takes good care of the children, or your children are well taken care of by their mother, you've missed a connection. Because your family relationship is you and your wife. That's family. Next is how you and your wife are raising your children, not how your wife is raising your children. What is due a mother? To realize by everyone that she is first of all a wife. First to realize by her husband that she is his wife, not the mother of his children. First in priority to recognize that and to live accordingly and treat her accordingly. Therefore, his first responsibility as a husband is to love his wife. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You can't get past that into the motherhood of a woman over your children. You must first love her, your wife, as Christ loved the church. That is the first thing that's due you from her. The mother of your children first has owed to her your love as your wife. Speaking to your husband, to you husband. Your family is not your house and your kids and their mother. It is you and your wife. Husbands, the mother of your children is owed to them by you to make her your wife and more important than your mother. Therefore shall a man, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. When you get married, your wife must become more important to you than your mother. She must be. What is owed to mothers is that their husbands are first above the husband's mother. Also, wives, you must realize that as a mother, your first thing that is owed you is to be recognized as a wife, even above your own mother. Wives, your mother is not to be more important in your family than your family in your relationship with your husband. What is owed to you is that you, as a wife and mother, are paramount in the family. Not your mother or father, not his mother or father. But a whole new relationship was started when the marriage began. And new priorities are created when marriage begins. Husbands, you are to love your wife more than you love your children. You are to love your wife more than you love your children. You are to give your children a mother who is well loved. You see that? You picture that? The greatest gift you can give your child is a mother who is well loved by their father. What glorious things a mother can do with children when she is well loved and properly loved. When she is loved as if it were Christ loving the church. What marvelous impact it has upon a mother and a wife for the children's sake. But you reverse that. Fathers, when you put your children above your wife and her interests, and wives, when you put your children above your husband and his interest, the two of you break that family bond and make the children more important than each other, you upset the whole design that God has for the family. And you create havoc for everyone in the family. When your children see you, fathers, loving your wives as Christ loved the church, you will find your children having great honor for their mothers and their fathers. They will be given great reasons to honor their fathers and mothers as God commanded. What else is due to a mother? That she is to recognize from the mother's standpoint that she is first of all a wife. That she must submit to her children and not to her, she must submit to her husband and not her children. That sounds so right on theoretically, doesn't it? But in practice, that must be worked out. Not submitting to your children, but to your husband. Submitting to your husband and not your parents. And submit to your husband as unto Christ. Wives, what is due you as mothers and wives is to not have the responsibilities put on you that do not belong on you. What is due a mother is that she have the responsibilities of motherhood and wifehood without the responsibilities of manhood and husbandhood as well. That is due her. That she not have the responsibilities that are not hers to fulfill and to take on. That it's owed to her. She has a right to the liberty to fulfill all of her responsibilities without having to fulfill the husband's as well. Husbands, set your wives free. Make sure that she only is responsible for the things that are actually hers as wife and mother, and not also things that would be the husband's responsibility. Give her what is due her. Give her the liberty to fulfill what's her responsibility, and just that. Give her the liberty of knowing that her family is secure and does not serve your parents, but your family is an entity with its own rules and regulations and responsibilities and love and devotions and loyalty. This requires great wisdom. This requires good thinking, so that you do not destroy relationships with your parents, but you do not bring your family in subjection to your parents on either side. That takes thinking. That takes planning. That takes thought. That takes discussion. That takes going to your parents and talking about it. If there's any conflict, it is making decisions and knowing where to draw the line, and then approaching your parents if there's a problem and say, these things have to be adjusted. The marriage relationship is a marvelous relationship. I grew up thinking, oh, marriage is going to be wonderful. I had an idea in my mind that marriage was going to be wonderful. I had great dreams of how marriage would be. And I got married. And my dreams didn't come true. I had no idea what was in marriage. My dreams didn't come true because they were dreams. They were not realistic. And they did not have Christ in the relationship. There was not the love of God in our hearts for God or for each other. And it ended in divorce. When God finally saved me and poured His love out within my heart and gave Pat to me as my wife, I discovered that marriage was much more than I ever dreamed of. Much finer, much more beautiful, much more sublime, much stronger than I imagined a relationship could ever be. Only because I love God more than I love Pat. And only because God loves Pat. Pat loves God more than she loves me. And I thank God for that. I would get concerned if I saw any indications that Pat loved me more than she loved God. It would be to her ruin. And perhaps our ruin. So I'm always eager that her love for God grow and grow and strengthen and deepen and broaden. And I know that mine must as well. For her and our relationship, and my relationship, to be maintained and continued and grow and be all that God planned it to be. What happens when a mother does not receive what is due her? Well, first of all, there is sin. If a husband is not loving his wife as Christ loved the church, there is sin. Sin on his part. It is in disobedience of the command of God. Just as clear as that. That has to be repented of. That has to be seen for what it is. That has to be seen as an evidence that the man does not love God if he does not love his wife as Christ loved the church, and he must rectify both of those problems. If you do not love God with all your heart, you cannot love your wife as Christ loved the church. You can't jump in to say, I'm going to give my wife what is due her. I'm going to love her as Christ loved the church, but I'm not going to love God with all my heart. I'll deal with that down the road. You've got it backwards. Until you're willing to love God, you will not really love your wife as Christ loved the church. Secondly, when the mother does not receive what is due her, the children are greatly deprived of an example of what parents are to be like and what love is, and they are deprived of proper child training. When a mother is not given the superiority and priority of wife first and well loved by the husband, children suffer. We live in a country where 30% of our children are born outside of marriage. They are born with just the mother. In some sections of the country and some economic groups and such, up to 2/3 of children are born without a family. There are abortions of over 1 million children a year. Most of those, believe me, most of those, you look in the almanac, are to single, unmarried, teenage women. Is the family greatly eroded in our country? You bet it is. Children are not given parents. Children are not brought into families. Children are being born. But there are the fathers are not there. They do not hang around. Mothers will not let the fathers hang around. There's no responsibility to create the family before creating the children. So what do? Make sure that you arrange your priorities according as God has arranged them. Husbands, make sure you love your wives as Christ loved the church and is willing to give himself up for the church. Be willing to give up yourself for the good of your wife in love for her. Wives, recognize that you are a wife first, even though you're a mother. Recognize that you're a wife first. That your first submission is to your husband, not to your children. And children come third. To those mothers who do not receive what is due them, I have encouraging words for you. Even though you do not love as Christ loved the church, and even though you are not given what is due you, you can still fulfill the will of God completely in your life. Your obedience to God and fulfilling of the will of God for you, mothers and wives, is not dependent upon your husband giving you what is due you, what is commanded by God. You can love God with all your heart, and your husband can't stop you. You can submit yourself to your husband as unto Christ, and your husband can't stop you. You can raise the children that you have responsibility for in the way that they should go to the degree you have the ability to do so. And that, because it is according to your ability, fulfills the will of God for you. You are not responsible to also to provide to your children what is the responsibility of your husband and their father. So though your children may be greatly lacking in a family where the husband does not fulfill his responsibilities, and they may suffer, you, ladies, mothers, wives, can live at peace with God by knowing you are in complete obedience to the will of God. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? What liberty there is in God's kingdom. What liberty there is that it doesn't depend upon any man or any person. As just Christians, no individual can keep us from loving God and loving our neighbor. Our neighbor's temperament, disposition, history, attitude, selfishness cannot prevent us from loving him. Not if it's the kind of love that God commands, kind of love that he has. Because it did not prevent him from loving sinners. the wretchedness, the wickedness, the vileness, the rebellion of sinners did not prevent God and His love from continuing on, rolling throughout eternity. Did not interrupt it one bit. Wasn't conditioned at all upon somebody else. So wives and mothers, women, be encouraged to know as far as your relationship with God goes, it can be complete. And husbands, be encouraged to know that you have the ability to do all that God commands you to do in relationship to your wife and your family and your children. That if you're thinking that you just don't have time to do it all, you've got your priorities out of whack. There is always time to do the will of God. God created enough time to do His will. He gave us enough energy to be awake long enough to do His will. He didn't cause us to have to sleep so much that we couldn't complete His will for the day. He doesn't cause children to have so many needs that you cannot complete His will for your life. We don't have to have so much money that you men have to work all your waking hours in order to just have our needs met. Oh, what God has planned and created is just right. When it is without greed and selfishness, it is just right. He's ordained work that we could do good through work to others and provide for ourselves. But He's ordained families, husbands and wives, in which love can be shown in such an intimate way. What a marvelous relationship. No relationship exposes your heart like marriage. What an opportunity to know exactly what your spiritual condition is by observing your relationship with your spouse. And then when children come along, the mirror gets bigger. But the opportunity to do good gets larger too. But the number of children and their needs are not greater than God's grace and your ability in God to do God's will for them and for the family. Marvelous. Marvelous. So this morning, this message is short. Husbands, give your wives what is due them. Give your children's mothers what is due them. Hold them up, first of all, as your wife. Put your children after your wife. That's a very important principle, and I would make one side note. But even in ministry, it's called ministry. Pastoring, evangelism, teaching, whatever it may be. A wife comes before ministry. Oh, Dennis, you're going to put one person pat above the needs of so many people? My priority is to love her first. If I neglect my love for her, that's the point. Not that I love her or you, but I love her as God commanded, because if I do not, she suffers, I sin, and you suffer. If I do not love Pat as Christ loves the church, you have no example from which to draw. I will be in sin. I could not have the mind of the Lord in preaching or teaching, because I would be in sin. Ministry does not come first in the church. Relationship comes first. Love and its proper priority comes first. In the same way and in your home. So husbands, be courageous. Take the initiative. Keep up the initiative. Keep up the consistency. Keep up the love. Let this be an encouragement to you to remind you of the priorities. And wives, recognize that you and your husband are the family. And make sure that your parents don't come in the way of the family, nor don't make your children, first of all. Mothers, what is due you is for you to recognize that, first of all, you're a wife, more important than the children, more important than outsiders in that relationship. Give yourself what is due you as well, Mother. And have a good Mother's Day. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we worship and adore you, bowing down before you. Lord, you created us in such a marvelous way to have this marvelous relationship of husband and wife and becoming one. Lord, when men grow into manhood and take on responsibilities, we must see that we must become separate from. We must leave our mothers and fathers and give our wives a separate family identity than just being attached to our own mothers and fathers. In the same way, we must be detached from the wives, mothers and fathers. And when there are children, they cannot run the household. But from beginning to end, the husband and wife is an entity that you have ordained and blessed. I pray for every family that's related to one another in this fellowship, that what is due mothers will be given to mothers, honoring them as wives, loving them as wives, and may the mothers themselves recognize that relationship as well. Bless this day, Father. May all mothers be honored because they are wives with children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, church.